This is episode 80 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, requesting a public autopsy in Georgia.
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
Another interesting topic on the show today, something that hopefully the audience, the viewer, the listener, the reader will find useful. We're going to be talking today about public autopsies, that is, autopsies done by state agencies.
Yes.
The medical examiner's office, when they go down, how they go down, that type of thing, to help us, guide us through this conversation. Mm-hmm. We have another guest. We have Gene Proctor, the Georgia coroner for Floyd County. We have
155. I always forget the exact number, but it's like 155.
There's 155-ish counties in Georgia, and this gentleman that's our guest today, Gene Proctor, is the coroner for Floyd County, which is located where, Will?
Northwest Georgia, so past Carrollton. It's somewhere, I think it's on the Alabama border.
Yeah, definitely on the Alabama border.
Yeah.
But can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Proctor?
Sure. So Gene Proctor has been directly involved in public safety for over 40 years now. He's been active in all areas of service and holds two college degrees. One is an Associate of Science and the other is a BA in Homeland Security and Emergency Management. He's been active in the fire service and EMS for many years. He retired as a paramedic supervisor after almost 30 years and has recently retired as the battalion chief of fire and rescue services. He has worked as deputy coroner and chief deputy coroner for 10 years and was appointed as the coroner when sitting coroner could not complete his term in office. He has currently been the chief coroner for 1 year.
And Gene, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So, Gene, we wanted to have you on the show today because many of our clients, they have loved ones who have passed away either in a nursing home or after having been transferred from a nursing home to a hospital. And they have questions about the law surrounding autopsies, when the government is supposed to perform them, things like that. But from a general standpoint, Gene, can you tell us what an autopsy, what a public autopsy is, and what the purpose of it is?
Okay, the purpose of an autopsy is a fact-finding mission to discover the cause and manner of death in an instance where that you're not sure exactly what that cause or manner of death is. For instance, one reason for doing an autopsy is a potential drug overdose, whether it's intentional or accidental. That way, with an autopsy, we can use those toxicologies and do investigations of the inside of the body to make a determination of the actual cause and manner of death in that patient.
Okay. And so how is your office alerted that an autopsy may need to be done? Is that the law enforcement that does that job or the family members?
Well, it can be any of the above. Anyone can request a coroner to come out and investigate a death. Any death is outside of a hospital setting that is not under hospice would come under coroner's jurisdiction, or if they're in a nursing home. That's one area where there is a discrepancy and a little bit of a deficit, in my opinion. If it's a nursing home death, the RN in charge of that nursing home will pronounce that patient, and they will sign a death certificate and send it on to a funeral home. And a lot of times, unless the family alerts us to a situation at that nursing home, then we don't know that there was a certain situation there. And we would not know to go and investigate it, pull the medical records, and potentially do an autopsy on that patient to find out what the cause and manner of death was on our own.
Gotcha. So that's going, a lot of that is slipping through the cracks, potentially, I guess.
Yes, it is. In which, to me, it's always been an issue and a problem. I feel like it's probably simply a issue of monetary stance for state and local governments, because by law, the coroners and deputy coroners are paid a per diem per case that we work, which is set forth by the General Assembly of the State of Georgia, and it's $175 per case. Mm. It doesn't matter if that case takes you 1 hour to work or if it takes you 60 hours to complete. You're getting $175 for that case.
That's insane.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was like that. So you kind of touched upon this. What are the instances in which it's mandatory that the coroner's office do an autopsy? And I understand that, like, if there's a suspected murder, if there's a suicide, but what about when, you know, and I guess we're getting to that deficit, our clients sometimes, that there's a possibility of abuse when they've passed at a nursing home and that RN signs the death certificate. Like, would that have been something that would have automatically come under your jurisdiction?
It should have. If there's any signs or indications of elder abuse or anything, that's one of the things that we really like to look for in a case that's coming through. We don't like the idea of those cases getting by us. It's the way it's been a real, real hard process of getting change within the state. We have effected a lot of good change in the state, but we still have a long way to go. The nursing home system, basically, once you're entered into that nursing home system, you remove your rights from outside intervention. The family members, though, if they request a coroner's visit on that person that is deceased, then we will come and investigate that case. We'll come do a case file and investigate it and do everything we can to make a determination. Of course, not all cases are going to be abuse, and not all cases are going to go for autopsies. Medical status is a huge thing we have to look at. Was this person's life actually viable to continue, or were they on the process of dying? And what caused that process? Did somebody speed it up, or was it just carried through in a natural state? That's why that in my office, I require myself and all my deputies, we investigate every case as if it's a homicide, a criminal case. And if you'll investigate them that way and disprove anything, then you come out with a good judgment.
Right. Gene, let's back up from a logistical standpoint. So the family, they're not satisfied that the RN signed the death certificate and there's not going to be an autopsy, and they want to contact you to get that done. What, take me through that process from the phone call to the autopsy. Where are people involved? What documents do you need? What permissions do you need to get? That kind of thing, if any.
Okay. By law, if they contact us, then we're charged. We answer to the public in every county. There's, I think, three counties in the state now that aren't under the coroner system, and they went under a medical examiner system, which to me is far, far less personal. We have the availability as coroners and medical examiners through the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. We have forensic death investigators there that are certified forensic pathologists, and their sole purpose is to make a determination of criminal activity with a death. But anyone can call the coroner of the county that person resides in, and they can initiate a coroner's case.
Okay. And so then tell me about what I guess once you've made a finding, is that made public? Do you share it with the family? Like, what? Where does that go from there, your report?
Okay, by law, and most people don't realize that with HIPAA, anybody's medical files and things are kept totally in the secret. Mm-hmm. Upon a person's death, those records actually are no longer covered under HIPAA. They can be obtained by people. An autopsy report, it's available. It's part of public record and it's kept in the office. And people can request a copy of an autopsy report by contacting the coroner that actually ordered that autopsy report.
Gotcha.
And it will provide them a complete description of the autopsy, the findings, toxicologies, and anything else that are done in there. If there's blood alcohols performed, which we do those on all the autopsies, we do blood alcohol, we do toxicologies to see if there's prescription drugs, illicit drugs, or whatever in their system. And then we'll have the autopsy findings. All that is compiled by the medical examiners and at the GBI, and then translated back to us. We have a computer system throughout the state that we can access and pull this information up and be able to pull it up for families and whoever's interested in it and release it.
So it, depending on the conclusion in the report, I'm assuming that would get passed to law enforcement. If they suspect abuse or in worst cases murder, but that I'm assuming that that's how that would work.
Right. If it comes back that those indicators show that there's criminal activity involved, whether it's abuse, drugs, it doesn't matter what, then they're immediately going to contact the coroner that ordered that autopsy. Mm-hmm. And it's up to that coroner to contact the presiding police agency and let them know. And we also have agencies like Adult Protective Services and things, and DFACs that would have to notify also.
Right. And so you mentioned a little earlier that it's a flat fee of $175 for whether or not the autopsy takes an hour or 60 hours. What's the average?
Correct.
What's the average time that your autopsy takes?
Well, our autopsies are done by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation in Atlanta. We call them, arrange it. Most of the time we get the individual sent down either that day or the next day, and then the day after, generally, they have the autopsy completed. They won't have the findings, but they will have the autopsy completed, and then the person will be released to a funeral home of that individual's choice. The findings on an autopsy, if it's, say, I've pulled, just before I started talking to you, I pulled results off the GBI computer where that I have cause and manner on a homicide that was here. Mm-hmm. I've got the cause and manner of death, but I will not have the complete autopsy results until the toxicology is clear. Now, toxicology takes most of the time between 3 months to 4 months to get from GBI. And it's because of the extensive process they use to process these.
Gotcha.
They're carried through in such an intricate manner. We pull sections from different areas of the body, and they're sent to different labs, and then we can get a group concurrence of those findings. That way we know everything is exact and the findings is coming back.
So the gross exam can be pretty quick, but the actual labs is what takes the weeks and weeks and months and months.
Right. The gross exam normally within 48 hours, the body will be released. It depends on the caseload at the GBI crime lab at that time, of course. Mm-hmm. But generally, within 48 hours, that body is released to go back to the family. And like I said, you know, it can take several months to get all the findings back, because once those findings come back, and they go back to the labs, and that medical examiner, the pathologist there, has to sit down and interpret all those findings and values that he's gotten in and write a complete report on them, and that's what's issued to the coroner.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that there's coroner's offices in every county but three counties. Do you, what are the three counties that have the medical examiner?
Cobb County,
I think DeKalb County.
Clayton and DeKalb, I believe.
Yeah.
And Fulton. I'm sorry, there's four Fulton. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and why is that? Do you, I mean, like, what's your understanding of why that's the case?
Well, they initially, that was, at one time, it was put in the mandate that they wanted every county with a population in excess of 100,000 people to go under a medical examiner system.
Mm-hmm.
That was the logic from a long time back. They thought it was so much better, but it's so expensive to do. It's very, very cost prohibitive for a local agency to be able to handle that kind of load.
So every county except for those four are sending the individuals for autopsy to the GBI, but the medical examiner's office in those counties are actually doing the autopsies in those four counties. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. They hire their own pathologists and maintain their own lab facilities. And how they do them in their county is, you know, that's up to them. But coroners throughout the state are governed by the Senate and congressional seats of the state. I mean, we're under control of the government in the state of Georgia because coroners are elected. We're elected positions.
Right.
The deputy coroners that work under us are appointed positions, and they work at the luxury of the coroners.
What's the going back to kind of the logistics of it, what's the window of time that a family has to get to alert your office to conduct a public autopsy?
Well, it used to be that you could, you know, kind of hold off a while on it if you wanted to, because so many people did burials. As long as the body has not been embalmed, we can still take that body and do it. Even if the body's been embalmed, we can still get some fair results off of it, but not really good determination factors will be there once that body is embalmed. Of course, if it's a cremation, there's nothing left
right.
to examine.
That makes it hard.
Right now, in the last report that I got in the state of Georgia, we're sitting at close to 60% on cremations compared to burials.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Tell me about then, is there, what if a family doesn't want an autopsy done, even though it might be, it's mandatory under the law? Is there like an exception for religious reasons or just personal reasons? Is there a way around it?
No, there's not. Really, I haven't encountered any actual religious reasons for someone not wanting an autopsy.
Sure.
I have had some people that didn't want it because they just didn't want to put their family member's body through that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is one that's mandated by law, such as a pediatric death, anybody 17 years of age and younger,
mm-hmm.
If there's anything that happens to them, there's about a 99% chance they're going for an autopsy.
Yeah.
Any case that's going to be criminal activity, they're going for an autopsy. Any case where I can't make a determination of what was the cause and manner of death in an individual, doesn't matter the age, I'm going to send them for an autopsy.
So you're overseeing the autopsies only of Floyd County then? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And then tell me about the process of do you testify later in criminal or civil cases with regard to the findings?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anything that a coroner does from beginning to end is a legal document. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's classified as an open legal document. What I do most of the time, if I've got suspicions on something, if the individual's been in a hospital, a nursing home, whatever, it doesn't matter. As a coroner, you're a constitutional officer, which carries the same rating as a district attorney, sheriff of a county, a judge. So I can actually write, the coroner of a county can actually write their own subpoenas to secure records. And I write a number of subpoenas every month to retrieve records so I can make accurate determinations on the cause of manner of death in a lot of these people.
So so medical records, like you're getting, you're subpoenaing hospitals and such, or the nursing homes?
Right.
Okay, I see.
Right.
So can you walk us through the, like, what does the report look like? Is it 50 pages? Does it have pictures? Like, what are we looking at?
With the autopsy report?
Yes, sir.
The autopsy report usually comes back. It'll range in size. It depends on the study that's being conducted. Most of them that they release out are about 10 to 15 pages.
I see.
There's no pictures. If you want pictures and a more extensive report, you can actually get those through the medical examiners, but you have to subpoena the medical examiners and bring them into court to be able to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Do you have an understanding of the difference between a public and private autopsy in your experience? I mean, is the public autopsy as good or the same quality as a private autopsy?
Actually, the public autopsy is what we do through the Georgia Bureau of Investigation probably a lot better and a lot more extensive than what a private autopsy will be. A private autopsy will go in and look usually for one variable.
Mm-hmm.
And with the public autopsies like we do through the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, they're going in with an open mind and looking for every variable possible. And it'll be a complete study from head to toe on that individual. Private autopsies in court, a lot of times, from what most of the forensic pathologists say, won't hold up because a pathologist doesn't carry the weight that a forensic pathologist does.
Gotcha.
In making the determination of the cause and manner of death.
Can you tell us for the listener, Gene, what the difference is between a forensic pathologist and a pathologist?
A regular pathologist is one that would, a pathologist would dissect into the body after someone, say, has had a heart attack, a myocardial infarction.
Mm-hmm.
They would go in, go to the heart, they would take the heart out, weigh it, dissect it, and look and find where the clot was and make the determination that, yep, this was the clot that caused the death. A forensic pathologist would take that same patient and would do the same, get the heart, take the heart out, dissect it, weigh it, and then they would find the clot that caused the problem or the area of irritable foci that caused the subject to have the arrest. And then they would go a step farther and say, what caused this clot to be here in the first place? Was this subject, were there drugs involved?
Mm-hmm.
Was it too much medication, too little medication? Was it an injury of some type that caused this to happen? Did they get hit in the leg 2 weeks ago and they had a clot to hit there and then that clot turned loose and come up to the heart and caused the MI? That's the very, very basic difference between a forensic pathologist and a regular pathologist.
Yeah, much more thorough in starting from, you know, eliminating causes rather than trying to justify a cause.
Exactly. And they're a lot more expensive to hire and keep on payroll too.
Mm-hmm. So, let me ask you this then, would there be any reason why, maybe not your office, but another county coroner office would have a tendency to decline requests for autopsies by families whose nursing homes, families who has members that have died in a nursing home? Like, is there a reason to say, well, this doesn't meet the strict definition of the law, in other words?
Yeah. Well, the coroner has that ability. But once a coroner is contacted about a case, we will take that case, investigate it out, and make the determination of yes, it needs autopsy or no, it doesn't, we'll turn around and call the GBI in Atlanta and speak with them down there and talk to a forensic pathologist down there about the case. And they have the final say-so of whether yes or no they're going to do that autopsy.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That way, if they say that they're not going to do it, then, you know, if the burden is on them then.
Gotcha.
If it doesn't, if they don't want to do it and we know that something's wrong, then the burden is passed across to them and they have to prove right or wrong on it at that point.
I see. Is there anything in your experience that, like, you know, is a borderline case or a bright line case for an autopsy with regard to someone that's passed a nursing home? Does it require that there is bruising on the face or, you know, there's a broken bone? Like, what automatically triggers and what needs to be investigated more, in your opinion?
Well, anytime you got someone in a nursing home or any type of care facility, they should be, the family should be vigilant and watching for changes in that person and that individual. Have you noted bruising on the patient? Have you noticed on the shoulders and arms, are there marks that look like pressure marks for hands, for fingers? Mm-hmm. Do their legs look like they've been pulled on? There are marks on the ankles or on the legs? Are there slap marks on them? All of that should be taken into consideration. And, you know, don't be ashamed. Check that patient's bottom. Find out, have they been laying in dirty diapers,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm.
if they're bedridden.
Yeah.
But to me, these are all travesties that happen to the senior public. And sometimes it's not the senior public that ends in those. And, you know, and to me, the caregivers in that industry need to be held responsible for their actions.
Sure, sure. Well, Gene, we really appreciate this information. I mean, like I said before off air, we have a lot of listeners out there that are looking and searching for this information. So we're really glad that you were able to take some time out of your day to come on the program with us.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Well, I'm more than glad to help. I've enjoyed speaking with you. If anybody would like to contact me that has questions, which you can contact your local coroners through going on the web, go on the internet and look under Georgia Coroners Association.
Mm-hmm.
And every coroner and deputy coroner in that state will be listed on that website. And you have a phone number there where you can have contact to get in touch with them. If you have any trouble with that, anyone's more than welcome to contact me.
And how would they
call my office?
Yeah. And how would they go about doing that? We're going to put up the Coroner Association on the screen and any other numbers that you want to give us.
Okay. If they would like to contact me and I can help them with any anything like that, they can call my number at my office, 706-314-1328.
Great. All right, Mr. Proctor, we thank you very much for being on the show, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed speaking with you guys today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye bye.
Yeah. You know, it's very important to for families to fight for the autopsy if their loved one passes under those type of circumstances, that there's a suggestion of neglect or abuse. It's mandatory under Georgia law that an autopsy be done. So contact Gene, contact your county coroner or your medical examiner if you're in those four counties.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
I think, and here's something interesting. Mm-hmm. In preparing for this, I, you know, looked into the word coroner. And it actually comes from the same word as crown, as in, like, you know, the crown of England. So the royal family, the crown, because it started around the Norman conquest of 1066 in England. And there was when they developed the different articles for the royalty and for the government. One of the agencies was the coroner's office, and originally their job was to deal with not only certain financial issues, like if somebody found a cove of treasure, also known as a treasure cove, then the coroner's office would deal with that. Or if there were suspicious deaths, the coroner's office would deal with that. Nowadays, that has transformed into somebody who deals almost, in the United States at least, exclusively with death. So it's interesting.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that the word coroner comes from, it's a Latin word for crown.
Right.
So it's the same etymologically as the word crown.
Hmm.
Okay.
What year was the Norman invasion?
1066.
In what famous battle? Some say the most important battle of Western civilization.
I can't remember. It's William the Conqueror, and it would have been...
the Battle...
Hastings?
Of Hastings.
Of Hastings.
1066.
Yeah.
At any rate... I think that's about it, unless you have more about the root of the word coroner.
No more.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, the cat's out of the bag, and so I guess that's what matters.
Yeah.
And speaking of the cat being out of the bag.
Right.
August 18th is international.
August 8th.
8th.
Which is Wednesday, is International Cat Bag Day.
Yeah. Well, International Cat Day.
It's not International Cats Out of the Bag Day?
No. Okay. I was using that as a segue.
I got
anyway.
You. Okay. Anyway, that's it for this episode. You can get a new episode every Monday morning. You can watch us on our YouTube channel or check us out on the website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. You can check us out wherever you download your audio or MP3s from, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Podcast Puppy, wherever that is. And then you can read it. You read the transcript. If you're in a hurry, it's much quicker to read. Or at least in some people's cases. My mom reads really fast.
Yeah.
You can also actually on a lot of these apps hit the like two times speed button and listen really fast. So that might be something that you want to do.
Or just go read it on the website.
Or just click stop at this point instead of having to go fast on this one. But anyway, yeah. We thank you very much for your attention, and with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the hosts or the guests, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the hosts or their guests and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.